You're listening to Super Action Bros, a podcast to talk about movies with explosions and car chases.
And surprising robot nudity.
That is an accurate statement.
That's an accurate statement. Hello, everybody. Welcome to Super Action Bros.
I'm Ryan.
And I'm Ian. Welcome to this little series. I don't know if we're going to really do months anymore, so no. We're just calling it a series. And our current series, Super Action Bros, Netflix and Kill Month. Pew, pew, pew. I did that on accident, but I made it work. And this time we watched a movie that I'm going to apologize right now. I wouldn't call an action movie, but we were tricked because it looked cyberpunky and cool. We watched a movie called Mute on Netflix, Netflix original film. So we'll talk about that here in a moment. Before we get to that, a couple ways you can reach out to our show if you like what we do and you want to reach out to us. Best way to do that is to go to our website, stuffandthingsnetwork.com. Go there, click on the Super Action Bros artwork. You can, from there, listen to all of our previous episodes on there. We just recently covered up until Thor Ragnarok. Well, right up before Thor Ragnarok, all of the MCU. So you can get.
Can we say recently? It's been like 6 months.
I'm trying to pull the kids in. The kids love the superheroes.
I mean,
Ryan.
Considering we've been doing the show for almost 4 years.
Wakanda forever.
Amen. But considering we've been doing the show for like 4 years, 6 months is pretty recent.
Sure. Fair enough. Or you can listen to us talk about Catwoman, whatever you would prefer. All the episodes are there. You can also subscribe to us on iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play there. We also now are available on anchor.fm, which is a podcast thing. We're going to be, all the podcasts should be soon available on Anchor. So check on that. You can also follow us on social media, Twitter, Facebook, Tumblr, Instagram, and Letterboxd, all of that there. You can also, if you want to get at us individually on social media, you can find Ian at iRich. That's at iRitch.
I'm on Twitter also, Ryan Roop, RyanRuppe.
And you can also email us. There's a big contact us button on the front page of the site. So you can fill out a form there, shoot us an email, and we will read here on the show. Much like we do from our good friend Sean, who has sent us more super action stats, which we'll be reading in our back at the ranch section at the end of our show. So all of that at stuffandthingsnetwork.com. All right. So Ryan.
Yeah, that's me.
Let's talk about Mute.
Sure. So I've been into this movie for a while.
You like the director of this movie.
I like the director of this movie. His name is Duncan Jones.
I like his dad and him. He's fine, too.
His dad is David Bowie. And he's kind of a hit or miss in terms of his movies being successfully good. He directed a movie called Moon, starring Sam Rockwell.
Which this movie hints at.
Shares a universe with this movie, but that movie is definitely not an action movie. It is even more of a slow burn than this movie is. It's comparable. It's shorter. And then he made a movie called Source Code, which I really like, but a lot of people who like to talk to me about movies at work really don't like. And then he directed the Warcraft movie. So I'm just going to leave that one out there. And then this is his next movie, a Netflix. The story behind this movie is that this was the first movie he tried to write and pitched it to Sam Rockwell. And Sam Rockwell's like, yeah, this seems like a little too ambitious for your first movie. What about something else? And so this is a movie that's been...
Now that I've seen this movie, that makes a lot of sense.
It does. It's a movie that's been floating around.
It feels like a first... Because there's... I'm going to have to preface this right now.
That's fine.
There's a lot of really heavy subject matter in this movie.
Yes, there is.
And while we are a family-friendly show and we don't curse, I feel like we would be doing this movie a disservice if we didn't mention that content.
Yeah.
So if you listen to this with your kids, maybe skip Mute because there's a lot of heavy...
This movie is without question not okay for kids.
Oh, absolutely.
It is a movie that would be rated R if it was rated.
Yes, absolutely.
It's currently rated TVMA. They don't have to submit to a ratings board. They just choose.
But that's the rated R of television.
Yeah, it's all of the things.
It's got a lot of really
if you were looking,
dark
if you were looking
in
like the back of the TV guide and this movie came up and it had the little blurb and then it had all the different letters after it. It would have all of the letters. It would have the N. It would have the V. It would have SSC. It would have AL. It has all of them. It would have, you know.
There's a theme in this movie that happens with this particular scumbag character that when I saw it, I was like, Ryan is not going to like this.
I didn't.
Yeah. I know you didn't. Right. I didn't either.
But before we get there,
but anyway,
let's talk about.
Just to let you know up front, if you listen with your kids,
this isn't
the one for you. Maybe go lie back and listen to The Incredibles and watch two grown men cry at a movie you probably like. So,
I like that movie.
I do too. Or have the kiddos watch Speed Racer. Always a good time. Bright, fun, colorful. It's great.
One of the best movies ever made.
I don't know about that, but it's definitely fun.
Send me a tweet. All right, so let's go through the people who made this movie. Okay. So Duncan Jones, director. Yes. It was written by Duncan Jones and Michael Robert Johnson, who is, it looks like a script writer, a script doctor.
Yeah, it looks like he's done some work on Sherlock Holmes, the Robert Downey Jr. one, Pompeii, which I remember that movie.
It's too bad. Yeah, so script doctor.
A lot type of script doctor stuff looks like he helps add some extra things.
But yeah, I mean, it's kind of it's a little over 2 hours. It's a little sprawling.
Yeah. So this is definitely a movie where it takes after the Blade Runner without the opening monologue, where there's no information given as to what's going on or where you are. Well, you know where you are, but there's this supposed war that happened, and you're not sure, is it World War II or some other war?
But it's definitely in the future.
And then there's Amish people.
Which, they exist.
Yeah, but like, it's weird, because they're like, I guess that was, I feel like that was the hook premise.
Yeah, and
which was like,
well, what if he doesn't talk?
Well, not only that, but like, what if he's like an Amish person who has to live in a techno world? What if Amish people meet Blade Runner? What's going to happen?
Well, and this movie is Blade Runner is an easy touchstone because of the way it looks. It's a lot of neon. It's a lot of, and it's a neo-noir.
Also,
like, this
really
movie
has
is really like a detective, you know, he's not a detective, but a mystery noir kind of movie, but it's the neo-noir means hyper-violent, lots of neon, and people die a bunch.
Yeah, or what's the other term for it? Cyberpunky?
But it's cyberpunky. In my mind, a cyberpunky movie deals with the nature of, like, what is humanity and uploading yourself to the internet.
Sure, okay.
That's like a cornerstone of cyberpunk,
that
doesn't happen at all.
There are
a
lot of robots in this movie,
but it looks like it. It has the same aesthetic.
It almost kind of reminds me a little bit too of, in a weird way, and this just probably because of the coloring and the visual aesthetic of it, of AI.
Sure.
But when Haley Joel Osment's with Jude Law in the city, and it's all bright, colorful, neon,
and
bright
that
pink
also
blues.
Borrows from
it all goes back to Blade Runner.
Yeah, but it's also a movie that like is also a futurist movie. Like,
that's
there's
true.
There's a lot. It's not the direct face of the movie, but a lot that happens is, you know, just trying to predict the future. Here's what's coming, maybe.
Yeah.
Just like Blade Runner AI or like iRobot or any of those kind of movies that are set in the
I'm
relatively
still mad he
near
didn't say
future.
Yo Robot. I was really looking forward to
it.
That.
It was really disappointing.
He didn't even say in the last one anything, yo anything.
No.
Maybe except yo to another human. I wanted to hear him say like, yo, elf.
He does
shoot somebody in the face.
He does shout at what's his name a lot? Even Stevens. I can't think of his real name. Even Stevens is in that movie. Even Stevens. What's his name? Shia LaBeouf.
Shia LaBeouf is in what movie?
He's in iRobot.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah,
for no reason. All right, so let's talk about the people who are in this movie.
Sure, let's talk about it.
So Alexander Skarsgård.
Yes.
He plays the main character, whose name is Leo, who doesn't talk. Spoiler, until the very end.
And does he even really talk at that point?
Yeah, does it count? Yeah. So he's sort of our main character, with the exception of our second main character, played by Paul Rudd.
Which has the... I'm going to say this before you say it. I think one of the coolest character names I've heard in a long time.
Cactus Bill.
Cactus Bill. Like, my grandpa was named Bill, and he lived in the desert. And I am sad to say that he's no longer with us, and I could never have called him Cactus Bill, because Cactus... But then again, knowing what a scumbag Cactus Bill turns out to be, spoilers, maybe I wouldn't have wanted to call my grandpa Cactus Bill.
Yeah, and I'd like to talk about that in a bit, but let's get through the cast.
Yes.
Also in the cast is Justin Theroux. Who
Ryan's least favorite character.
Yeah, he plays the ultimate scumbag, but basically he's the
friend
of Cactus.
He does
Bill.
It well. Yeah. He plays a creep really well.
He plays a guy named Duck. So Justin Theroux is an interesting actor because he keeps popping up and stuff, but I've never, like, this is almost the biggest role I've ever seen him in. He's like, just off the top of my head, the movies that I've seen Justin Theroux in is he's the voice of Garmadon in the Lego Ninjago movie, and he is also the evil DJ in Zoolander and Zoolander 2.
Yes, I knew I recognized him, but I couldn't place it.
And also he wrote Iron Man 2.
Oh, all right.
And he wrote Tropic Thunder.
Okay.
And so he's known for being funny. He's also in American Psycho. He's also in Mulholland Drive. He's in one of the Charlie's Angels movies.
Yeah.
He is in Star Wars, but doesn't say anything.
He is in, oh my gosh.
He's in
Star Wars
for about 10 seconds.
He is in Mulholland Drive. That's where I recognize
him
from.
So he's got like an insane...
He has a decently sizable role in Mulholland Drive too.
Yeah, he's got like this insane resume of acting that's really varied and bizarre. But he keeps popping up in weird places. So good on you, Justin Theroux. Yeah. You keep keeping on, man.
Other than that, there's a lot of like people you're like, oh, I recognize that guy from that thing.
Yeah.
The major one that the first one I noticed in the movie, which is, you know, pointed out today, is Noel Clark.
Yeah, Noel Clark, aka
Mickey from Doctor Who.
Yep. That's
the that's only... about the only other thing I've seen. No, he was in the open. No, that's not true. He was in the opening of the second Star Trek movie.
You're right. He was.
I was like, hey, it's Mickey from Doctor Who. And that's it.
There's also the only woman who has a name in this movie, Zeynep Salah, plays Nadira. She's the only named woman in the movie besides...
No, there are some other ones. Okay, but I challenge you and any of us to remember the names without looking at them.
And then besides that, it's... Like it's clear that they spent most of their money on Paul Rudd when it came to casting.
Except there are two cameos that are great. One, of course, as we mentioned, Sam Rockwell, very briefly on TV.
Well, several times.
And I didn't realize that tied into Moon until about 3/4 of the way through the movie. When I finally put together what was going on. If you don't know what happens in Moon, I'm about to spoil it for you.
Oh, man, you should watch Moon.
It's really good. If you haven't seen it, pause the podcast now. Go watch Moon, and then you'll understand. Spoiler. 3, 2, 1. Sam Rockwell is like clones of Sam Rockwell. Yeah. There's like clones upon clones of Sam Rockwell. So
they show up in a court case on TV for just a second.
That's I'm him too. I was like, what is going on? I thought that Sam Rockwell would have a bigger role in this movie.
Moon's one of my favorite. It's the first Blu-ray I bought.
The other one is Dominic Monaghan, who has a really strange, bizarre cameo.
You may recall him from Lord of the Rings or from Lost. Not he's Penny's not Penny's Boat.
No, he's not. He's not Penny's Boat. He's Dominic Monaghan.
Right.
But he's the guy with the hand.
Yeah, he's the hand.
What was the name of Drive Shaft? Wasn't that the name of the band?
Oh, gosh, yeah.
How do I remember this? I loved that show.
Oh boy,
I was definitely
looking
one
back,
of the lost.
It was not that great.
No, I know.
But at the time,
man, I was all about it. But he plays a weird one-off, like 2-minute cameo.
I didn't even know that it was him. Until
I did. That nose is a dead giveaway.
Until today when Ian told me.
That nose is the dead giveaway.
Okay,
for me, it's
fair.
That like that nose. Oh, man. That he's got a very unique-looking face, that guy. And even under geisha makeup and between two robot dolls of a certain type, you know who it is. We didn't see him between the two robot dolls, but they were definitely
there. They
were
right next to him.
I was just like, again, I stress, Ryan. I didn't pick this movie.
I know.
I didn't make it.
I picked this movie.
I didn't know there were robots and nudity and adult situations and
literally every woman in this movie is a prostitute except for the little girl.
And I also didn't know about what's his name, Justin Theroux's weird crap. That was disturbing. That was the.
I mean,
I want to talk about that plot point only for the fact that I. All
right. So
this movie does things.
It does. And I think that it does things successfully.
Yeah. Eventually it gets there.
It gets there. And
I think like the one thing I will say this movie does successfully is it makes you really uncomfortable for a while. But eventually that gets like there's a breath. Yeah. But you hold that breath
for a long time.
For a while.
And I think that's sort of a hallmark of this. That kind of neo-noir thing.
Yeah,
like
it's
sort of on purpose to set you on edge, and for better or for worse. Like, I'm not saying that, like, and that's awesome, and all movies should be like that.
No.
But this movie does successfully grab your heart and sort of wrench it in directions.
Oh, boy, does it ever.
And I think that's, like, even though the movie's getting kind of bad reviews, and I know that you weren't crazy about it, like, it does do what it wants to do.
No, I didn't say I wasn't crazy about it. I feel, honestly,
it's not like Catwoman.
Spoiler alert, I feel the same way about this that I did about Bright. I go, wasn't my favorite thing, but it definitely was not as bad as everybody's saying it is.
Yeah. I think also another...
But this movie requires a mood, and I don't think I was in that mood last night.
That's fair.
I was in the mood for some guy. You know what I was in the mood for? Cyberpunk John Wick. And that's what I thought I was getting in for. That's how this movie was marketed.
That would have been really cool.
Was Cyberpunk John Wick.
But really, it's much more like Blade Runner than
Yeah, it's much more Blade Runner-y.
But without the questions of what is human.
Yeah, it's more like, hey, what happened to this pretty lady that I like?
And what if everything was voice activated but you couldn't talk?
That was, you know what? That's decently clever. That's an interesting idea in this day and age when we were just, before we started like recording, playing Jeopardy with Alexa over there.
We did pretty good.
Oh, she activated.
Throw that thing out the window.
No, go away.
The FBI is listening
to
this
talking
podcast
about
as we record it.
Okay, good. I don't know why I even have her in here.
Can you mute that thing that I'm not going to say what it's called?
You mean Amazon?
I don't know. All right. Anyway,
I found out you can change its name.
Great.
To Amazon, computer, or there's one more. I might change it to computer because there are two other people in my house that also have those, and they all use the same name.
Jeez. All right.
I'd rather say, I wish you could change it to Jarvis. That would be my favorite.
Just have it order 2 tons of creamed corn.
If I could have it do Jarvis.
Why are we talking about this?
Because we're talking about a voice future.
Okay, so let's talk about some of the future elements of this movie.
Sure.
So one of the weird conceits of this movie is the main character is not only, because of a childhood accident, incapable of talking.
Yeah.
But also he is Amish, or at least his family is Amish, and he is sort of, you know, riding that line. He's not on Rumspringa, but he's not.
I think. Well,
he lives in the modern world, but he still sort of is old fashioned.
Well, they also kind of show in this that, like, I guess the tenets of being Amish seem to have changed in this future world. Like,
I think there are things where
you still have to, like, this is the society we live in. We have to interact in some way.
Well, and to be fair, like, Amish people now, like, there are websites run by Amish people and stuff like that. Amish people own computers. They've just sort of, because they made up the rules before, or they decided on the rules before computers were a thing, they have amended, you know, the way their lifestyle works around computers because
God's cool with it now.
Yeah, it's less that and more like, you know, they don't keep it in the house and I've read all about it.
Is there a separate they have to go to like a internet cafe?
No, they like put it in a barn or they put it in their workshop.
Okay. They have an outhouse for the computer.
I mean, let's be real. Most of us should have that.
I mean, yeah, let's
with all the garbage
honest.
That happens on the computer.
I just want to imagine that there is some
poop jokes.
I just want to imagine there's some garage somewhere with one of those Amazon devices that I'm now pointing at. I can actually say an Amazon Echo.
Okay, it's fine.
Because I'm not saying her name.
I'm not comfortable with these things. They make me feel weird.
Why?
Anyway. But one of the other
we're not saying anything wrong.
One of the other fun Are future we? Things in the movie, I think, is the bit where there you can order food to go. On the internet.
Yes.
And then a drone will bring it to you.
Yep.
And
that seems like it's real close.
And it will track the location of your phone. So you don't even need to tell it where you are. Just say, come find me. Oh man, that was pretty cool.
That seems real close. But however, he gains the most information by doing the most old school thing he can.
Literally
going to the library and looking through the phone book.
Yeah. And I think that's sort of clever. It kind of has fun with the future without going too crazy into it.
Well, I guess we should say the premise of this movie is that he's dating this, or he's seeing, they're dating.
They're together.
He's seeing this waitress at the bar that he works at as a bartender, and it seems like she has some secrets and stuff, but she just mysteriously disappears out of nowhere. He hasn't seen her, doesn't know what happened to her, and he needs to find out what happened to her.
And then at the same time,
it's a bum out when you find out.
At the same time, Cactus is this guy who's AWOL from the military, and he was a military doctor, and he's got a daughter who was burned, and they live in Germany.
Yeah.
And so he's trying to get papers for her and escape while at the same time working as sort of like an underground gangster surgeon.
And so what's weird is like for a long time, these stories, like the characters cross over.
They just happen in parallel.
Yeah. And it's weird. You're like, okay, how is this going to connect?
Well, and that's when I think the book does, or the movie does something. No, but
we're going to be talking about comics here in an hour.
Well, but it's something that's really literary. I've been thinking about it. And basically there's a scene relatively late in the movie, maybe 3/4 of the way through, where you suddenly get it. You suddenly understand what happened. They do a little like scooting the sun backwards and making the night come again, like basically a rewind.
Yeah.
And then you see a scene from a perspective that you hadn't seen before.
Yeah.
And then suddenly Paul Rudd's character, who you've just thought is this, he's kind of a jerk, but he's a good dude. You suddenly realize, oh no, he's the bad guy.
Yeah.
And it's like everything else falls into place that had happened previously in the movie.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, wow.
Yeah, everything suddenly makes it. Well, and
it's
even
a thing,
too,
it's
the
a
one
thing
thing
that I've read books where that happens, and it's not something that happens so often in movies.
No, it's true, because the audience tries to follow a pretty straightforward narrative, and this was not a straightforward narrative. And even so, I was watching with my roommate Matt, and he was just like, I don't understand. What is the purpose of this? I'm like, wait for it. I go, it's coming.
Yeah.
I go, books, if it doesn't get there by the end of the movie, the movie didn't do it right.
Yeah, in books that I feel like you're a lot more tolerant of like, what was that chapter about? Well, I don't get it. Oh, we'll get to it.
And you notice after that, like at that point, even the movie, the way the film is made, Paul Rudd's character is like kind of the comic relief.
Mm-hmm.
But after that point, he becomes very dark and very sinister very quickly.
Yeah, he does.
Like, I think it's after you see that flashback that then he's suddenly assaulting that security guard in that mall.
And he's still doing it in a jokey way, but you, the viewer, are like, this guy's
like, he's nuts. Like, yeah. He's... Spoiler alert, 3, 2, 1. He murders the girl.
Yeah, he murdered the girl like really early.
Because turns out they had a kid and she was trying to take her away. And then all that starts adding up too. She mentions the bit, I'm saving money, but I won't tell Leo
there's
about it.
There's someone important in my life, and
I'm saving money. And you're kind of like, she's saving for him to like get, because she bought him like a phone, being like, this is the oldest phone I can get. It's going to make us easier to contact each other. You know, I know you don't like using this stuff, but you know, I really care about you and I love you and all this. And then she talks about like, oh, I'm saving this money. And I'm like, is he going to try to convince him to get surgery so he can talk or what is it? And then it's just all about, no, this girl. And I kind of like the ending because the ending comes around to him being selfless and being like, this is the only connection I have to this woman who I really cared about, which is her daughter, and I want to save her and make sure she's safe, and I will even use my new robot vocal cords, which I don't want
to save her.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to give her up. I'm going to bring her to her grandma.
Which I think is really nice.
Otherwise that grandma scene makes no sense, or her mom scene is just like,
right.
Well, that was a waste of
But in a way, Cactus Bill isn't even the ultimate scumbag in this movie at the very end. Turns out
it's Duck because he's a pedophile.
He's a pedophile. Yeah. They make it very clear multiple times throughout the movie. And then
they hint at it early, but it's not till later that Cactus Bill comes to the realization. And the movie basically says like, no, we weren't messing around before.
He's
a scumbag.
And then at one point, and then we're spoiling the plot. We're jumping all over the place. But at one point, after Leo finds the body, what's the Nadira? Is that her name?
Nadira.
After he finds her body, like in this bag, and is all bummed out, he kills Cactus Bill.
Yeah, he kills Cactus Bill in an ironic way by stabbing
a knife through his throat. And so you're like, oh, good, bad guy, like evil is punished. But then you remember like this is where the movie does well. Where I told you it makes you hold in that breath.
Yeah.
Because Cactus Bill confronts Duck about like, look, I know what you're doing. If I ever see you near my daughter again or near anybody like that, I will break your arms. I will mess you up. Don't do this. And that's where the movie does well at tricking you into thinking, yo, Cactus Bill's kind of a good dude.
Yeah.
Maybe he's not such just like a cut up jokey guy after all. Maybe he's got a good heart. And you find out he's a murderer and you're like, well, he's not good either. But that's the most scary part to me is like, Duck comes home, finds Cactus Bill dying with a knife through his neck, and is like, oh man, I can't really help you. And then he's like, oh, where's your daughter at? And like turns the screen towards him. That was the part I was like, oh, I'm like, this is really messed up, and Ryan is not gonna like this.
I didn't
part.
Like it. My wife and I were very unhappy.
It made me uncomfortable.
But then the implication is that nothing happens because then Leo's there.
Yeah.
And then they run and it's sort of like a it's not so much a foregone conclusion, but it's like something that hasn't happened yet.
Yeah.
And then it gives the chance for Leo to finally.
Yeah. And he does.
Yeah.
He does. That's why I'm just like, I'm like, oh, please don't end the movie where the bad guy wins. You can't let the bad guy win. You can't let the bad guy win.
And it
that's
pays
messed
off something
up.
That's been happening.
It's the worst way a bad guy can win. It's not like, well, he got away with all the money. It's the worst possible thing. Oh, God. It was so uncomfortable for me. And I'm just like, come on, man. There's so many moments too in the car where there's like the pencils in there and you think he's going to stab him like just end this fool. He's a monster. End him. And you're just like waiting for that moment. And then it finally comes and you're like, oh, that's why he was drinking all that water. Makes sense.
Well, because there's just,
so you learn
see,
how to hold his breath.
Yeah.
And drink in water. I guess
you see him drinking water.
I wasn't quite sure what that was about at first.
So my thought of the drinking water thing is that
he takes a deep breath and then chugs like
and
a
then
mug
drinks
of water.
Like a big mug of water. And so he's holding his breath, but it seems like the way that it's used in the movie, it seems like it's almost like an anxiety coping thing.
Oh, okay.
Because he does it every time after like something crazy has happened.
Yeah.
And it seems to calm him down.
Yeah. Okay.
And every time water shows up in the movie, whether it's raining or whether he's swimming or the part at the end, it's to sort of like,
except for when he screams in it.
Yeah. Well, but it's to like fix something, make something better, smooth something over.
Sure.
And so I think that that's and that makes sense then how eventually he basically drowns Duck by holding his breath longer than Duck can.
But I mean, Cactus Bill died. I was thinking about like the perspective of his last thing he's seeing in this world as he dies. Yeah, it's
oh, that is in terror.
That is so dark.
Awful.
It's so dark. I'm like, that is
messed up.
I did not expect that. I was like, I've seen some messed up stuff, but that might push. That might push Requiem for a Dream's Jennifer Connelly bit out the window, which up until previously was the most messed up movie thing I could think of. Where I was like, oh, that's real world messed up.
To be fair, they don't show.
No, they don't show anything. Okay. But the implication
and it doesn't
is so
the implication
scary.
Is that it could happen.
Yeah, no, they
less
don't.
That it does.
They never go that far to show anything. Of course not. No. But like it's really dark and it's real messed up. So again, no kids.
Yeah.
It's real messed up. Anyway, that's all I'll say about that.
Yeah. So, I mean, going back to the classic MacGuffin bit.
Yes.
Like we always do. You want to explain what a MacGuffin is?
Sure, I'll do it this time. Sure. So, MacGuffin is an Alfred Hitchcock filmmaking term. Ryan has to cope with all the darkness we just talked about.
I'm still dealing with
it. It's okay. So it's an Alfred Hitchcock filmmaking term that pretty much represents, it's usually an object, something like that, but it's something that makes the plot move forward. What are the characters trying to get? What are they trying to achieve? A classic example is in the Raiders of the Lost Ark is the Ark of the Covenant. So in this movie, we do have a classic MacGuffin. It's a detective type movie and there's a missing person. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, Nadira, who's a missing person.
Yeah.
What happened? Where is all this going to? And also, I would also argue, like, what is up with Cactus Bill? Why do we keep following this guy? What's the importance of this dude?
Mm-hmm. But he ultimately ties into the
central
mystery, though.
I was waiting. I was like,
where's Nadira?
Because they cross paths at one point.
Yeah.
And you keep wondering where all these weird text messages that he keeps getting from her phone coming from.
Mm-hmm.
And they're really bizarre and strange and like...
And at one point it includes a picture of Cactus Bill and his daughter.
And that's when it starts... That's when I think they do the... Well, that's when you're like, what the heck? And what?
Yeah.
What's going on here?
It's a movie... I mean, I think it's a smart movie.
They hint at things, and it's well done.
They expect you to kind of like... be okay with not knowing or try to figure out the mystery.
Exactly.
And so I think it successfully does that, but I think that it's the expectation of this movie and the reality of this movie are two very different things.
It's not an action movie. It's a thriller and it's a neo-noir sci-fi thriller. That's what it is. Which, as we've learned looking at other Netflix movies, is a very sci-fi thriller is a very popular genre on Netflix.
I feel like sci-fi thrillers are very popular. Like, I'm going to sit down and watch something dumb.
Yeah. But I feel like this movie made me work a little bit.
It did. It made you work a lot. I feel like there's a lot of work in this movie. I feel like I'm glad Netflix got it because otherwise I can't imagine this movie ever happening.
No. Especially with the content we just talked about. That would not happen.
With this deep and heavy of content and this big of a production budget that's not based on a previous property like Blade Runner.
Yeah.
I can't imagine happening. Like, I can't imagine this movie in theaters.
We really should watch Blade Runner 2049.
One day.
It's really good.
I know. I heard.
It's really good.
I heard.
Deserved a lot more credit than it got.
I
know people who hate the original Blade Runner but love Blade Runner 2049. Oh, wow. So I don't know what that says about it.
I don't know either.
I think it's because Blade Runner 2049 is a little less heavy and a little more plot straightforward. But
it's got Ryan Gosling.
But in a good way. In a good way. It still plays well in the Blade Runner universe, I think. Anyway.
The Blade Runner universe.
Yeah, so don't watch this movie if you're looking for a happy, feel-good time.
No.
This is not one of those. It's definitely more of a... I want to try to watch something heavy and adult. It's like, I don't feel like I need to watch this movie again for a long, long time, if ever, quite frankly.
But
that doesn't mean it's a bad movie. It just means that it just wasn't the type of popcorn feel good, popping popcorn in our mouths, having a good time.
Yeah, like it's almost, okay, so I mean, this is our second Netflix movie, and you and I have watched movies on Netflix a lot.
Yes,
in our lifetimes.
That's accurate.
And I feel like there are a handful of the types of movies that one watches on Netflix.
Yes.
One of them is something like Bright, a big, dumb, blunt instrument of an action movie.
Yes.
Another one is honestly this type of really deep, strange, weird, and kind of dark movie. The other Netflix movies that I've watched on Netflix that I can think of that are like this are movies like Upstream Color.
Yeah.
Directed by the same guy who did Primer.
Yep.
It is actually like way weirder than Primer. It's a really good movie, but I like cried for an hour afterwards. And my wife's like, why are you crying? I was like, I don't know if I can explain why.
All right. Now I have to see this. I'm intrigued.
Because she fell asleep like 10 minutes in. Because if you think this movie is slow. But there's like, I think that it makes sense. There's a genre of movie for Netflix that's like the really weird, really kind of dark movie that you sort of like sit down and watch on a dark night when you're just by yourself and you're like, I kind of want to. I mean, honestly, it's like a dude crying movie.
Yeah.
Like there's a whole genre of movies for women when they need to cry. There's a whole genre of movies for parents when they need to cry. For instance, I walked into my house this evening and the last 30 minutes of Coco was playing.
No. Why was someone watching it again?
I just got home, got to have a good cry, hugged my kids, and then left. But I mean, like, sometimes having a movie that makes you feel bad feelings or makes you feel sad feelings is cathartic. And I feel like this movie fulfills that. And that's a type of movie that's on Netflix, a dude sad movie. It's just not something that really ever is at all successful in the theater. And so it makes sense for it to be on Netflix. But also it's one of those movies that it's not going to get the views that Avengers being on Netflix is ever going to get. It's not going to get the views even that like Bright is ever going to get on Netflix. Yeah. And I don't know how they convert views to money. I don't know how that works.
Who knows?
I don't know if people were like, oh, mute, I'm buying a Netflix account for that, because I feel like everybody who has one already has one.
Yeah.
But I mean, that's
who knows?
Sort of a
myopic. My grandma doesn't have one.
Yeah, there you go.
So,
I mean, I know a lot of people who don't have them. They just log in with other people's accounts.
I explained Netflix to my grandma and she understood it. But she's like, oh, I should look into that. And then never did.
I was one of those people who got Netflix and then had to get a Wii disc that they mailed to me.
I was one of those people, too. I had a PS3 disc as well. Nice. Because that's when they had the Xbox exclusive app. It was only on Xbox 360 for a while.
Otherwise, you had to have a disc.
Yeah, that's how they got around it. And then after,
actually,
and
still once, have that disc
and
somewhere.
Once that expired, then it's like, okay, here's apps.
Yep.
We were dumb. Sorry.
We made a deal and we regret it.
Yeah.
And now but, you can watch Netflix and everything that connects.
I had Netflix, Ryan,
internet.
When I would get DVDs
I did
from
too.
Them. So I watched
actually,
a
for
lot
a while
of the
I
seasons
had,
of Lost.
For a while, I had the Blockbuster one instead of Netflix because you could take that movie you just watched and gotten in the mail to any Blockbuster and exchange it for a Blockbuster rental.
Yes.
And then they would still mail you the next movie. And so it was faster than Netflix.
That's
and you
true.
Got more movies. And then Blockbuster went under. And so we switched to Netflix.
So, all right. So, Ryan, what would you rate this movie out of?
It's weird because it's almost not fair to rate it the way we've rated the other movies, because it's not an action movie. And I mean, there are
as a movie.
Yeah. Okay. There. I mean,
we
I just
know
wanted
the
to,
scale is
I wanted
fluctuating.
To talk about. I want to talk about. There's action sequences. There's a ridiculous car chase where he is driving.
That is true.
An old
that was
Mercedes
that was probably the most action packed part of this movie.
And like looking up in the sky as this low flying sky bus thing takes somebody, but it's not high speed.
No.
And it's just sort of frustrating.
It's like, no, no, no. Stop hitting things. You don't need to whack into this. That's a nice car. Stop it.
And then there's a part where Leo finally decides he's going to go take care of the guys in this club. And he has this big piece of wood that he had made for part of a bed. And he takes out a couple of guys really fast, which is like, I didn't realize he was a superhero.
Yeah.
Suddenly he is. And then you see
it's a pretty heavy piece of wood. It's
it
like
is.
A big,
and
thick
like
baseball
a,
bat.
He's like a
he's
tall,
a tall
dude,
dude,
and he works wood, so you assume. He swims a lot. It looks ripped. But then like he goes in to this robot strip club that's empty at the time, and their big, buff security guard like tears a robot stripper's leg off. The robot stripper's deactivated at the time, and he's going to fight him with this robot stripper leg versus Leo and his big stick, and then it just cuts to the aftermath. And it's clever, but at the same time, like, come on, guys. Like, we could have had a fight, but that would have been much more expensive.
It's true.
Right, it would have taken, you know, fight
again,
choreography.
Gotta get Paul Rudd. That money was...
Yeah, he...
Yep.
It was money well spent. He's funny.
He is. You know, he's funny. He's a funny man.
And so did you know that they based the relationship of Paul Rudd and Justin Theroux on the two main characters in the movie MASH, who eventually became
MASH. That makes sense.
Because they're both... like medics in a war zone and stuff like that. So they sort of based their relationship on that. Although the relationship also feels a little like Simon Pegg and Nick Frost.
Yeah.
A little bit the way they call each other babe and stuff like that.
I'll be real. Maybe I was just being stereotypical, but it made me think, like, are they gay? Like, is this his daughter? Are they friends? Like, the babe thing.
It was really unclear what their relationship was for a big chunk of the movie.
Yeah, and then you're like, oh, they're buddies.
They were served in a war zone together. Okay, I get it. Yes,
yeah,
that's fine.
Yeah, and there's this whole other thing. There's this whole other thing. This whole war we never hear about.
No, I mean, if they talk about Kabul, and it's like, okay, you know, I'm sort of familiar with that city being part of a war.
Yeah, but then they talk about Nazis a lot, and you're like, when did this war happen?
They talk about Nazis?
Yeah, they call German people Nazis multiple times as a joke, but I don't know how recent. Again,
yeah, that's
I
fair.
Don't know how recent that
Germany.
War took
place. Takes place
in Berlin, yeah. And I'm like, is the wall? They use communists multiple times. Like, did the wall never come down? Did it go up?
Yeah, we don't.
What? When did this take place? Because I'm still not sure.
Yeah, all we know is 30 years after his throat got jacked up.
Which even then, he looked like it was
that,
in
that
the
part
70s?
Was yeah, that I was totally timeless. You have no idea what was going on there. Okay, rating out of a possible 10. I liked it. Like, it was dark, and it bummed me out. And at the same time, I really liked it. I liked the mystery element. I thought it looked really good. I thought it was pretty decently acted. I thought it had some... It kind of was sprawling.
I have a question for you.
Were there
any likable characters in this movie?
Leo. You root for him.
Okay. All right.
You sort of be like...
Because I'm trying to find your line because I know that you don't like Birdman. And not that I was like... I thought Birdman was amazing either. But like, this is a pretty heavy, dark film. And I was pretty convinced. I'm like, he likes Duncan Jones, but I have a feeling he's going to not like this because that one plot element is really
gross.
Yeah,
but that guy gets his comeuppance.
Good. But that like 20 minutes where he doesn't, you're
I was worried. honestly, if that character hadn't died, my opinion of the movie would have been very different.
Yeah, no, I'm glad he did.
Same. I liked it.
I feel like he couldn't have gotten away with it if that character like I feel no, like yeah. there would have been pickets no, 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 outside you, Duncan Jones'
like that's,
house.
That's movie rules. That character has to die.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I mean, at the same time, it's like the plot armor is how he was strong enough to beat that other guy.
Yeah, exactly.
So there's a bunch of stuff like that that just sort of has to happen. You're like, okay, well, it's kind of inconsistent, but the plot relies on it occurring.
Yeah.
You know, the plot couldn't move forward if this didn't happen. And so with that, I could be better. I don't know. Like, I liked it, but I can see its flaws. It's one of those, it's like I can look at it and I see all the things that are wrong, but part of me is like, yeah, but I liked it.
That's okay.
I'm allowed to do that, right?
Yeah, you're allowed to do that.
All right, I think I'm going to give it, 7. 7, people have no visible cell phone. They just start talking, and now they're on the phone. Out of
some
10,
sort of
because
ring
it happens
whistle
a bunch.
Necklace thing.
Yeah, like the one guy, he has like contacts, and he's playing a video game by just waving his hands in front of his face.
Oh,
like,
okay. I'm gonna give it 7 as well. Actually, right. I feel pretty much the same way. Like I enjoyed it. I don't think it's the best thing, but I don't think it's the worst. I think it's definitely a specific taste. It's like, you know, it's not hamburgers or pizza. You know, it's what I recently ate. It's foie gras. It is a thing that you can eat. And when you realize some things about it, you're like, that's really messed up. And I'm kind of a monster for liking this movie. But I ate it anyway. And it's fancy and I enjoyed it, kind of. But I'm going to give it 7. 7 of my favorite characters in this movie. You ready?
All right, I'm ready.
You're going to be like, oh, you think I'm going to go
prepared.
Dirty. But I'm not. I'm not sure what you just said, but we're going to move on.
My soul is prepared.
Oh, I thought you said something else. I was like, what? Right, that's messed up. Okay. Tell me if you heard what I heard. Just send tweet at Irech. Send
I'm
me
really
a DM. Slip into the DMs and let me know if you think you heard what I heard. I'm going to say 7 soullessly white-eyed, half-black, tattooed-faced
Yeah, I wish
goons.
Those guys had done something, man.
They scared me so much. I was like, those guys are terrifying. They're just sitting there doing nothing. They're like dead walking corpse zombie. Like, what are they? What are they? What is that?
Yeah.
I don't know. They're my favorite characters. Out of 10. So those guys. 7 of those guys just looking at you. Out of 10. So blockbuster, lackluster. I'd say if you like Moon, if you like that sort of style, if you like
a slow burn movie that's going to bum you out.
Which we both, I think, do sometimes.
Yeah, occasionally.
I would say check it out. Yes.
It's not an action movie.
No, it's not an action movie.
Oops.
This is the second time we've done this.
What's the first time we did it?
Birdman.
Oh, yeah.
Which we thought was going to be more of a commentary on superhero films. Not at all.
I'm shaking my head at the microphone right now. I have no words.
Keaton was good. That's all I'll say.
He's a good actor.
Yes, he is. You should watch The Founder if you haven't. That's another movie where he's a scumbag and you don't like
him. He plays the guy who created McDonald's.
I love that movie.
McDonald's.
Really,
I love McDonald's once every 6 months.
I had Szechuan
months.
Sauce the other day. I followed the Rick and Morty fandom. It was perfectly cromulent. So that is Mute, and that is a show. Now we move into the Back at the Range section. So I do have some super action stats for
us. Sure. All right.
From our good friend Sean.
Thanks, buddy.
He said only a few notes this week. Mute marks Paul Rudd's third appearance on Super Action Bros. His first two being a part of your SAB MCU event, Ant-Man and Captain America: Civil War.
Okay.
Also sharing some screen time with Paul Rudd in those two films is a Florence Kasumba, who was also in Mute and Civil War.
Okay.
I don't know who that is.
I don't know.
Can you look that up and tell me who actor that guy is?
Yeah.
Go back and forth about whether to include cameo appearances in these stats. Please do. But I generally do. So this uncredited appearance by the great Sam Rockwell is his fourth SAB appearance, his previous being episode 22, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, episode 107, Galaxy Quest, and episode 150, Iron Man 2. Last but not least, this would be the second time you fine gentlemen have featured Alexander Skarsgård in SAB, but you have to go all the way back to episode 5, Battleship, to find him.
He's in Battleship. That's right.
So April 2014, by the way. Wow, that was a long time ago.
So Florence Kasumba is AO in Black Panther.
Okay. Yes, I knew I recognized her.
Which I haven't seen. But she's also the security chief in Civil War. So she's there basically with... We don't know who she is yet because Black Panther didn't come out, but Black Panther's in Civil War and she's his security chief.
Got it. Okay.
And then,
or maybe that they just expected us to forget.
Yeah, and then she's actually German. She's been in a ton of German stuff, and none of it I recognize.
Fair enough. So speaking of Black Panther, I saw Black Panther. I don't know if we talked about
it.
Did we talk about it?
I really
want to
see it. I don't know if we did.
I'll mention that it's good. I enjoyed it.
I haven't seen any movies in theater. It's when you have kids and babysitting, and the problem, honestly, if it was just me who wanted to see Black Panther, I would have seen it.
Yeah.
But my wife wants to see it. We want to see it together in theaters. That's hard to coordinate.
That is very difficult to coordinate.
So that's my excuse.
Yes.
What other? There's been a bunch of
summer
movie trailers.
Blockbuster movie season is coming out.
Yeah.
Real
fast. They moved the Avengers.
Yeah, they
moved
Avengers
it up by a week. And
did
so
you
then,
see the Robert Downey Jr. and Marvel back and forth tweeting
things?
Yeah,
that was cute. And so then because of that, they moved Rampage up.
Yes.
So The Rock fights monsters, except for one of them that it's his friend, is coming out soon.
Crazy. I didn't even think about this, but I'm going to go to Disney World in May and I'm going to be able to see Avengers Infinity War before I go.
Wow.
It's great. What else? Thanks, Owen Wilson. What else is coming out? Something's coming out. Some action movie's coming out this week that I was like, oh, that's coming out already? I don't remember what this week's
release is. I know the movie that I'm concerned of, that I care about this week is A Wrinkle in Time.
Yes, which I'm also interested in.
It's not getting awesome reviews.
No,
But I have a record of enjoying movies that don't get awesome reviews.
Yes, that's very
everybody
true.
Knows
we
this.
Both do.
So, Death Wish comes out this week.
That's right. That was the one I was like, Death Wish.
Death Wish already came out.
And what was the consensus? Bad.
I don't know.
13% on Rotten Tomatoes.
It's got 6.8 stars on IMDb.
It's got 13.
Red Sparrow came out.
Oh yeah.
And what's her name? She I guess has.
Yep.
She takes clothes off.
Yeah. She
one.
Sure does.
So have you seen it yet?
Not the movie.
I've heard basically that it's the closest thing we're gonna get to a Black Widow movie.
I have heard different. I have heard that there will be a Black Widow movie. I guess Marvel released a slate of release dates for the next.
They haven't said what
the projects are, but they have released a huge slate of release dates.
I heard that Game Night was actually funny.
Yeah, I heard it was actually good.
Yeah.
I was surprised. Game Night, by the way,
I didn't expect it to be.
I didn't expect it to be either. I thought that looked dumb, but I was like, every once in a while, something like that surprised you. So that might be something we'll watch on the show.
Oh, you know, it's coming out. Hurricane Heist.
Oh God, I saw so many trailers for this
from the director
on TV of Fast and the Furious. Hurricane Heist, and it uses the best part is it uses the same font.
Oh, it's the original director, not the one who made the good movies.
No.
The guy who made any of the good Fast and Furious movies.
No.
From Rob Cohen who made the first one.
Hey, fun fact. I need to show you this after the movie after this is over, and I want to get your commentary on it later because it's very heavily action movie based. I want to show you that Lonely Island. If you haven't watched this, Island cut thing, you need to watch it. It's hilarious and very funny.
Also, the Academy Awards were last week.
Yes.
Some movies won.
Yes.
Yeah.
people we've a movie we've probably watched. No, I don't even know if we watched that movie on this show. Watched Pacific Rim?
Have we? We should.
If we haven't, that's a travesty.
The sequel comes out in like a week.
But Guillermo del Toro.
Yeah.
Won Best Director and also his film won Best Picture.
I heard a great thing. Michael Shannon.
Yep.
He's been on our show a couple of times.
I heard.
Michael Shannon, he's in The Shape of Water.
Yes,
he's the bad guy
from what I understand.
That won quite a few awards. He watched the Academy Awards on mute in a bar in downtown Chicago.
I love Michael.
Like,
Shannon
he didn't
so
go to the
much.
Academy Awards. He just went to this bar down the street from the play that he's producing.
Oh, man.
And,
so good.
And just sat there drinking beer in a parka. Watching the subtitles on the TV while music played on the jukebox.
My favorite joke is my friend Melina texted me. She was like, oh, I'm watching the Academy Awards. I'm really bummed that my like gay boy movie didn't win. And I went, oh, no, the movie with the more progressive relationship of the woman and the fish man won.
Yeah.
Sufjan
performed. That's a big deal.
Yeah.
I'm a big fan of that guy.
But no dice when compared to Coco, man.
Come on. I just watched that song be played again and it brought a tear to my eye. I don't know what you're supposed to do in the face of that. Sorry, Suf, but come on. How are you going to compete with that? That guy, apparently guy who won for songwriting for Coco, he is a double EGOT.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Wow.
Well, because of this movie, he is now a double EGOT.
That's a new bar right there.
Yeah, man.
All right, so that is going to wrap us up for Back at the Ranch, and that's our show. So what are we doing next time, Ryan?
We're going to continue to watch Netflix movies.
So speaking
because
of
it's so easy.
So speaking of watching of the Oscars, we're going to feature an Oscar-nominated films sequel that was released exclusively on Netflix.
And this one's a little bit older on Netflix. This came out more than a year ago.
Two
years ago.
That I remember hearing about, but I never watched. We're going to be watching the sequel to acclaimed martial arts / action movie. We're made sure it's an action movie this time.
Is, yeah.
100% sure there will be some action based on the title.
Though, to be fair,
wouldn't it be amazing if there wasn't? Wouldn't it be amazing if it was all talking and no wire fighting?
If you watch the original again, there is a lot of talking and not a lot of fighting.
That is true. But we're going to be watching the sequel to Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon called Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon, Sword of Destiny. Might as well be called Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon, The Return, Revengeance. What's the one they always go? Oh, Resurrection.
Oh, there you go.
That's the one that's the go-to.
Son of Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon.
Bride of Crouching Tiger.
Oh, there you
Dragon.
Go. Well, no, because she's
Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon meets Frankenstein. Oh my God, I want to see that movie. Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon.
Universal
versus Godzilla versus the Wolfman. That's one more thing I could add back in the ranch. I watched that Kong Skull Island movie because I have now decided that I'm interested in and involved in that monster, what they're calling the Monsterverse.
So that's Godzilla and King Kong?
Yes.
But
and the very
but
end of the movie.
But it doesn't include Rampage.
No.
Okay.
But at the very end of the movie, they hint at all the other Godzilla monsters.
Yes.
And that stuff's going to happen. Yes.
Pleases me.
It does. It pleased me as well. It was fun. It was a fun action movie. It's something we should definitely watch for the show. We'll definitely have to watch it.
Yeah.
Probably when the other Godzilla movie comes out, which will be sometime this year, I think.
I don't know.
So I don't know. The second one, like we promised we made monsters that were the old monsters. We're not using some new sleek stealth looking monster that we made up. It's gonna be Mothra or Rodan or King Ghidorah
Maybe we'll have a kaiju month. Kaiju.
Rodan's the
because we still haven't watched Pacific Rim.
Yeah, I realize more and more that you can sell me on a movie as long as it's got a big old monster in it.
Well, and I've heard that the more recent Japanese Godzilla was very good, what I've heard. So
yes, I've also heard that.
Coming some point this year.
We'll do some kaiju movies.
Kaiju month.
I still want to step on Eyes in the Dark, who still haven't recorded for over a year. but I'm like, those are monster movies. I don't know if you guys
No, those
like,
are not horror movies. They're action.
Yeah, I would argue they ride the line. They ride that line.
Fight me,
because monsters are monsters, but there's also a lot of buildings being destroyed. So anyway, thank you so much for listening to our very heavy-handed episode about Mute. And join us hopefully for a little bit lighter, more Kung Fu fare next time with Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon, Sword of Destiny. And remember,
whether it's blockbuster
or lackluster,
we're the Super Action Bros.
This has been a production of the Stuff and Things Podcast Network.
Exclusively at stuffandthingsnetwork.com.